Refresh your spring cleaning to-do list with an oil change bundle for your vehicle at Advance Auto Parts. Get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 Castrol, Valvoline, Pennzoil, or Fram oil bundled with a select oil filter for one low price. And right now, choose a Mobil 1 full synthetic oil change bundle starting at $39.99 and get a drain pan and funnel free. Right oil, right filter, right price every day. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. Use the Advance Auto Parts app to build your bundle and pick it up at your nearest store.
Activating now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Kirk Morrison.
Buckle up. He's going to put on a show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've been watching you guys since day one. You guys are getting better and better.
Activating now.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Host of the Business of Sports podcast, Andrew Brandt. Golf Channel analyst, Randall Chamblee. NBA writer for The Athletic, Zach Harper. And now, filling in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Oh, man, happy Friday. Hopefully for everyone who gets the long weekend, right? Is that how you say it in Canada? You get the holiday.
Holiday coming up
for everybody. President's Weekend coming up. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Kirk Morrison in for Rich. Rich having a much-deserved vacation time. Relax.
Rich is taking the long weekend.
Yeah, he took the extra long weekend, man. But I'm so happy to be with everybody, as always. I got my guys here with me. I feel like these are my cousins. I always see them when I come into town. It's like, oh, cousin Kirk in town. But I'm always great to see Brock, Vidal, Tufo, TJ, man. Love y'all. I don't understand how I didn't see you guys in Phoenix,
right?
In the Arizona for Super Bowl weekend.
How about that? Good call. Where were you posted up?
I was posted up a little bit everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there. He was there.
I was all over the place. A little bit of there. No, I was doing TV hits and hotel hits from the Chiefs and the Eagles.
Oh, nice.
Been around. I was covering Eagles for a couple weeks with their run to the Super Bowl conference championship, but Phoenix was great. I will tell you this. I have not recovered yet, fellas. I have not recovered. It takes about a week to get back to, first of all, the time zone. Because it's kind of tricky. Because you always think that Arizona is Pacific, but they're really mountain time zone.
Yeah.
And they don't change.
They don't change. Yeah. I have buddies who live there. They were like, I don't know. We don't change. We just stay the same. I'm like, all right, cool. But now I got to keep looking at my clock. And you're like, okay. I'm always on Pacific time.
So you got to make sure Apple updated it, your laptop updated automatically.
All of that. Yeah. So I'm constantly adding an hour. That's what was going on for me in Phoenix. But an unbelievable week. The Super Bowl was great. I know you guys have been talking about it all week. What a great game. It came down to the two best teams. And obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs took over. But in classic Bill Belichick fashion, at some point, it's on to next year. We have to move on. And so in moving on, for me, that's what I think this weekend is really all about, this upcoming weekend, because you got to move on. So what, in your first weekend, the first weekend, everybody, and this is the poll question for today. You can reach me at Kirk Morrison on Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. Reach out to Brock, tell 240. Reach out to us, because I want to know. I honestly want to know, what do the people who love to watch competitive sports, what is your show this week? What will you be watching this week? What is your game that you'll be watching? Because there's a lot going on. There was no NFL. This is our first weekend without the NFL in a very long time. Since Labor Day of 2022.
Well, that's if you count August, preseason.
Well, you can go preseason if you want to go preseason.
Yeah, I'm just saying it is football.
If you're thirsty enough for preseason football, we got to talk, man. All right. But no, we haven't had a weekend without the NFL in a very, very long time. So that's the first thing I thought about. And I'm asking that to our listeners, to our viewers out there, what will you be watching this weekend? Is it going to be NBA All-Star Weekend? Is NBA All-Star Weekend still a thing? Are you going to watch the festivity? First of all, I will tell you, I don't know who's in the dunk contest. If the guy walked in front of me, I probably still wouldn't know who's in the dunk contest or the three-point shooting. Okay, yeah, the skills competition. Oh, by the way, I know the NBA has always had the skills competition, but 6.5 million people watch the Pro Bowl games, by the way, in the NFL. Just want to just throw that out there.
Football games were hype, man.
Pro Bowl game. I was there, man. It was different. Like it was cool. It was actually really was cool. So the NBA has to kind of live up to it, to what I think the NFL has done. So will you be watching the NBA All-Star Weekend or the Daytona 500? Will be on Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, by the way, someone's got a birthday on Sunday. This guy right here.
Hey. Hey.
So, yeah, I had to let the cat out of the bag. So I'll be, you know, having a, you know, a little shindig at the home. That's just me and my kids and my wife. Just that's it. I'm not doing it. She was like, "What do you want to do for your birthday, babe?" I said, "I've been on the road since August. Like, I want to be at home."
Is it a big birthday? Like, what number?
It's just 41.
Okay.
Yeah, 41.
It's ain't nothing.
It's 41.
I did
the 4-0 last year. Okay. Yeah. You know, the 40th birthday was last year. This year is 41. We all know today is one of the GOAT's birthdays, 6-0. And that's 60 for Michael Jordan. So NBA All-Star Weekend, Michael Jordan's his 60th birthday. Probably still won't watch much of the NBA All-Star Weekend. I watch bits and pieces. Is this the freshman versus sophomore game? What is the game? What is that they do on the Friday night?
It used to be the Rising Stars.
Where it looks like a JUCO, like an AAU tournament on Friday night.
It was actually kind of sick. TJ, do they still do something like that? Then they started doing the Euro versus the...
Right, the World versus...
The World, that's it. Do they still do that game?
I know they're doing like a skills challenge with all three of... With Giannis and his two brothers are on the team.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let me look this up.
Well, yeah, we got to get Giannis hurt his wrist, too.
The three ball, too, with the NBA legend... The current star and the WNBA star, that was always fun.
They were trying to put something together. So, hey, look, I'm going to figure it out in terms of what will the NBA show me? Will I be watching? Will they pique my interest? That's the whole big thing. So, you got, like I said, NBA, you got Daytona 500. Oh, if you're jonesing for some football, Brock, like you said, because you watch preseason football.
Yep.
The XFL 2 debuts this weekend, by the way. So, part 2, the XFL... Will you be watching? I actually have a couple of friends of mine who are coaches. So, yes, I will possibly be watching some XFL. I got a couple of players. I know young guys who didn't really get a fair shot in the NFL, injuries, all that. And you kind of get, you know, in an NFL where what can you do for me now? Some guys weren't able to do that. So we get a chance to watch some XFL this weekend. Also, too, the Genesis Open. Yeah, that's right. Maybe. Tiger Woods has returned to the Riviera. I guess his tournament.
Like he's the host.
He's the host of it.
Yep.
-2 to start on Friday, on Thursday. Currently, and you're my update right now. Tiger
is currently -1, so he's in that superstar Hall of Fame group with Justin Thomas and Roy McIlroy. Roy's having a great day. They're teeing off on 16 right now. They were the early 7:30 local tee time. I was out there walking around Riviera yesterday.
Yes, you got it.
But now we can get into more of it later because I know you're a big golf guy, Kirk.
Yes,
but it was phenomenal just to see the crowds back. Tiger was back. The slight limp, but not as bad as I kind of thought it was going to be. It's great to see these guys up close. You're like, you watch them on TV. You're like, oh, he's not that big of a guy. Like Matt Fitzpatrick. I don't know if you've started watching Full Swing yet, the Netflix docuseries. Little guy and a little guy in person. How do you hit it so far? Please teach me.
I feel bad. Almost ran over Justin Thomas. Media night. Okay, media night.
Oh, he
Eagles
was there
Chiefs.
Walking around.
He was there walking around. Literally, like, almost ran him over because I'm trying to interview, like, Linval Joseph and Dominican Sue, right? And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, not necessarily nudged him, but there's a bunch of cameras around. I'm like, what is? And I look. I'm like, oh, that's Justin Thomas. Okay. He's not the biggest of guys,
right.
But definitely he can swing it probably 2 or 3 times more than I can swing it. And always, too, and last thing before I want to get into something here in a second, but Tiger Woods always has this new drip. And when I say new drip, like new outfits, right? He always get outfitted with the latest.
Yep.
And then I try to buy it, but for some reason, it doesn't look the same on me. You ever see this? Like Tiger Woods wears these brand new outfits, and I'm like, wow, that looks pretty good. And then all of a sudden, I put it on my body, and it just doesn't look the same. So I know we got two different body types.
I was going to say, you still got the linebacker thickness going on.
But, man, Tiger Woods, always one of the more well-dressed. And even just one more thing with Tiger, because I know we're going to get into that, and how I think golf is now has a much bigger spotlight than it has in years past. Obviously, PGA doing a great job, so we'll get into that. But saw Tiger Woods has to wear like an ankle sort of compression slash brace. Like, he's not out there just full, just, oh, put a sock on and go. He's got to go through some things. He almost looks like Patrick Mahomes' ankle wrapped up before the Super Bowl. That's what Tiger Woods has to do for a golf tournament.
And they were saying, too, like, because he was in the afternoon group yesterday and then obviously the early tee time today, they said he probably was only going to get a few hours of sleep because he has to wake up so early to get his body ready to walk. And like you said, he's got regular sock, another sock, a compression sleeve, a brace. He's got everything on that right foot, you know, that he obviously almost lost in the accident now 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But just great to see him out there.
Great to see him competing out there.
He closed with three birdies yesterday.
Back to back.
You know, he's threatening to make the cut, which I think people thought coming into the weekend was going to be kind of a long shot, but he's looking good out there right now.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Brando Chambly in the next hour. And we can talk about the controversy surrounding Tiger, by the way. The controversy, which is Nike shoes versus FootJoy shoes. That's the big controversy right now at Riviera. But I want to take you guys back to Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. And no, this is not a take on the game and the call in the fourth quarter on, you know, James Bradberry. Nothing like that. I think the better team won, the Kansas City Chiefs. But it took me probably about 15 minutes after the game to truly understand and realize what was actually happening. Like, Super Bowl 57 was something in which I'm going to always remember. And it's because I'll remember it for what I think it means moving forward. I told you guys, I'm a guy who always thinks about, I guess, the Bill Belichick in me, right? It's, hey, I'm on to this, on to that, on to the next. All right, moving on. But it's hard to kind of move on and not celebrate what we saw. What we saw was Patrick Mahomes be at his best when his best was needed. We saw Patrick Mahomes win his second Super Bowl MVP. We saw him win his second overall league MVP for the regular season. But more importantly, what I really think that we saw the passing of the baton. We saw the passing of the baton because earlier that week, the greatest quarterback in my lifetime, Tom Brady, had decided to, you know what? I'm okay. I'm done with football. I can still play, but you know what? I can move on. And Tom Brady retired. And you always say when a great player like that, a generational player like Tom Brady retires, how will the game be left? How will the game be left? Who is the guy that's going to now carry that torch, carry that mantle? Who's going to take on the legacy of what Tom Brady did for multiple decades? That's what I saw. I had a chance to take a picture right after the game. And that's how I kind of got into this little this thought process. I'm after the game. I'm taking a picture. You know, I got my media credential on. And right over my shoulder, my left shoulder, is a picture of Patrick Mahomes. It's a picture of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm saying, this is the next generation's Tom Brady. My daughter's 6 years old. And she saw the picture. She said, Dad, that's Patrick Mahomes. It's like, you're six. How do you know this? But that's the conversation. She is witnessing, and the thing is, all she will know is greatness from Patrick Mahomes. He's been in the league 6 years. He redshirted his first year. Let's call it a redshirt. Mm-hmm. And in 5 years of him starting at quarterback, he's won two MVPs in the regular season, two Super Bowl MVPs, went to another Super Bowl. She doesn't know an AFC championship without going through Kansas City. Because they've hosted the last five AFC championships. And so it furthermore got me thinking just about decades in quarterbacks. And I kind of put this together, fellas.
Ooh, what do you got?
I put this together. And this is my QBs of the decade. You can fight me if you want to. You can do this if you want to. But this is my QBs of the decades.
Like this.
I grew up in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
San Francisco, Bay Area. So the 80s were dominated by Joe Montana. He was the quarterback of the 80s. Troy Aikman, I know, yes, you can argue, they say, hey, but John Elway won multiple Super Bowls and Brett Favre. The 90s were dominated by that guy wearing number 8, Troy Aikman.
Say it
and like the Dallas Cowboys. That star became what it is in the 90s because of some of the bright personalities. But the quarterback of that team was Troy Aikman. Now, Tom Brady is, I mean, come on now. He had two careers, right? You had the 2000s Tom Brady and the 2010s Tom Brady. Crazy. Those two decades, that was Tom Brady was the guy. If you think about it, we just started the third or fourth year of this of the 20s. Patrick Mahomes is already the quarterback of the decade. We still got how many more seasons to go?
Right.
He is already the quarterback of this decade. And I thought about it even more was the crazy part was that Patrick Mahomes is not even in his prime yet. Like, when do quarterbacks hit their prime? Like, year, like quarterbacks. It's usually like 8, 9, 10, right? Or you could say 7, 8, 9.
Late 20s, early 30s. Late 20s, early 30s.
He's 27, right?
Yeah.
27. He ain't nowhere near the prime yet.
Stupid.
He's still learning. He's still in, I always say, he's still in his kid body. He's not even in his grown man body yet, if you think about it. He's not even his grown man body. I had a chance to talk to Pat Mahomes, right? Right?
Kirk, that
is on cloud 9, by the way. After the game, you put a microphone in Pat Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes' father. He is like, yeah, you know, I already knew he was going to be you like know, this. You
Kirk,
know
you know what I love? That there are so many people who may not have realized that Patrick Mahomes was even black, right? Right. Some people. But then when you see his dad, you go, wait a second.
Oh, he a brother.
Because Pat Mahomes, former baseball player, very good. He doesn't really look or act like Pat, and he definitely don't look or act like Jackson.
Right.
So I think a lot of people got taken aback. But like it sounds like he smokes a pack of Cools a day, you know. Smoking that Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that Burrow. Yeah, you know,
smoking that Billy Blunt.
Patrick Mahomes, that's my son.
Yeah, you know what? But like all of that being said, like as we start this... This era of football, of quarterbacking, this era of football and quarterbacking, as Tom Brady exits, possibly Aaron Rodgers exits as well. We don't know. We'll ask Andrew Brandt in a little bit. He'll be coming up next. He's our next guest. But with all of that being said, Patrick Mahomes, I felt Super Bowl 57, we should have cleared away the Fox set. We should have brought in the people of Game of Thrones. And we honestly should have had Tom Brady there to put a big giant throne up and for Tom Brady to come out with a huge sword and literally knight Patrick Mahomes. Literally knight him. You know, sword on one side, sword on the next side. Or we can go old school, you know, movie style like Juice. You know, say, hey,
you got the juice now.
Like, this is your league. Like, this is all... Like, Patrick Mahomes right now is the best quarterback that we've seen in the early part of a career in NFL history. And we really have to sit back and understand what we're watching and realize this dude ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I realized... This week, that's what I realized moments after the Super Bowl. Like, is this for real?
And for the long haul.
This ain't going nowhere. So salute to Tom Brady, by the way, because think about it. We haven't talked Tom all week long because of how great Patrick Mahomes was on Sunday. But more importantly, what we think he will project to be in the years to come. Wow. And I do have a thought about that. And I can't wait to ask Andrew Brandt. Remember when Patrick Mahomes signed for $500 million? Got a question. Think about it. Is he underpaid?
Seems like a bargain now, right?
Is Patrick Mahomes underpaid? That's the question I'll ask Andrew Brandt. Coming up next here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison here, filling in for Rich, 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. If you missed the early part, we do have a poll question for today at Rich Eisen Show. Let us know, what will you be watching this weekend, our first weekend without the National Football League? Is it NASCAR, Daytona 500? Is it NBA All-Star Weekend? Is it the Genesis Open, right? The Tiger Woods Open, as we should call it. What else? XFL's debut part two, or if there's something else you'll be watching, or like many of the men around the country having to put in work on the honey-do list. Let us know at Rich Eisen Show for sure. Oh, man. What I got here? Oh, here we go. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, is furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. So call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. My guy joining us, Andrew Brandt. He is the executive director over at the Morad Center. You can reach him on Twitter at Andrew Brandt and IG Andrew Brandt T2. The host of the Business Sports Podcast. And Andrew, I just want to just get right to it because I always love your expertise. But when you think about a couple years ago when the Chiefs presented Patrick Mahomes with this humongous contract. Oh, $500 million. Oh, my God. But now, after seeing what he's done in his first 5 years as a starting quarterback, is Patrick Mahomes now underpaid, Andrew?
Hey, Kirk. Good to be with you. Always good to be on the show with you, with Rich, with Susie. Enjoy my time with you guys. I think that what I tried to do is sort of break down the reality versus the PR, for lack of a better word,
right,
on some of these NFL contracts. And I think we were just faced with that this week, even, where there was a big deal done 6 months ago for a guy named Derek Carr.
Right.
That contract has now turned to dust. And it was a 4-year deal, and it's gone. And it just shows everyone that these contracts are more quote-unquote suggestions in the NFL compared to the NBA and Major League Baseball. What Patrick did, I don't know exactly why, but he committed his whole career in one contract to the Chiefs. And before we even get to the numbers,
right,
let's just put aside the numbers for everyone listening. We're not talking about $30 million, $40 million, $50 million. The fact that the Chiefs got him under contract at any number for 12 years is a win. That's a huge win. That's a huge win. Patrick Mahomes will never, ever see the light of day in free agency unless he's, 37 years old. So that's a monster win for the Chiefs before we even talk about the numbers. Then you get to the numbers, and, you know, like I said, the PR's out there, 450 million, 500 million, whatever it is. But then you get inside the deal, and I look at markers like the first 3 years. So first three-year cash, forget about cap. What's the first three-year hard money coming to the player? Mm-hmm. And the Mahomes extension, I couldn't believe this number. Not that it's a, you know, not that anyone would thumb their nose at $65 million over 3 years. But think about that, $65 million in his extension over 3 years. You know what Ryan Tannehill got in his extension over 3 years? $90 million. You know what Derek Carr got? $100 million. You know what Kyler Murray got? $105 million. You know what Russell Wilson got? $115 million. You know what Jared Goff and Carson Wentz got when they did their extensions? $85 million. That's just a ridiculously low number. His signing bonus was $10 million. Matthew Stafford last year got $60 million. So I just don't get it. And everyone says, well, it's going to bump up. It's going to bump up. Maybe. I mean, the number next year is like 36. Then it goes to 37. You don't get to like $47 million till 2027. So, again, when you hear the big numbers about a deal like that, you got to look closer.
Yeah, but look closer indeed. He is definitely underpaid. But I think, Andrew, the next part will be looking at the quarterback that Patrick Mahomes faced in Super Bowl 57, which is Jalen Hurts. He is now eligible for a contract after his 3 years of service in the National Football League. He will go into a contract year. Maybe it gets there. Maybe it won't. Maybe they sort of use a different mechanism after the season if they don't get a deal done. But what should the parameters for you as a former executive in the NFL, what should the parameters start to look like for a Jalen Hurts type contract?
Well, you got to put Hurts in the same category now with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. They're all four-year players coming in their fourth year. As people should know, you can't even do a deal with a contract with a rookie contract guy until they've hit 3 years in the league.
Right.
So now they're eligible. You know, this discussion always, to me, comes back to the elephant in the room about quarterback contracts, which is Deshaun Watson. We've talked about it many times. The question becomes for these three guys and Lamar Jackson, again, not how much, but how secure. Mm. How secure? Watson's the most secure contract in NFL history. It's 5 years fully secured. Nothing can take away that money from him. And I know people are saying, well, they're never going to cut Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts. I get it. But you have to look at contract negotiations as allocation of risk.
Right.
When you're guaranteed, the team takes all the risk. When you're not guaranteed, you take all the risk. So I'm looking at the Hurts and Burrow, et cetera, contracts. Sure, they'll get into 40 or 50 a year or whatever it may be. But are those real years, like we just talked about Derek Carr? Or are those phony years? And the way the teams have operated, as I know from doing this in Green Bay for 10 years, is like, yeah, we'll guarantee year one, maybe year two. We have no risk in doing that. You're a young player. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to guarantee beyond that. And we'll see what the rubber meets the road about the Watson contract.
He's Andrew Brandt, the host of the Business of Sports podcast, former NFL executive joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. Andrew, you've mentioned his name a couple times so far, the Derek Carr. Now you said the contract that has kind of disappeared in thin air. He's got the early head start in free agency. If you're Derek Carr, obviously you have the time to look at what's out there for you. But what should be the big thing for Derek Carr moving forward? I feel like it shouldn't be a money situation. It's about the right fit, the right team. But if you look at the contract, what type of contract can be afforded to him before the start of free agency?
Well, he took a risk. If truly the Saints or maybe another team wanted to trade for him, and he said, no, I want to be released and hit free agency to pick my team, he took a financial risk because right. If someone traded for him, they'd pick up $41 million of guaranteed money, $36 million this year, $5 million the next year, whatever it was. So he's banking, him and his agent are banking on the fact that we get out there in free agency a month before the free agency and we get more than 42 guaranteed. We'll see. And if he doesn't get that, what we'll hear is that I just wanted to be at X team. and the money was not the primary factor. So, you know, Kirk, it's going to be the most interesting quarterback market in my covering the league or being in the league ever, because we don't know what's going to happen with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
There's Derek. There's Garoppolo. There's Daniel Jones. There's Geno Smith. There's five rookies potentially in the first round. It's going to be musical chairs, so you got to get in while the getting's good, because some of these seats are going to get filled pretty fast.
I know a lot of teams don't want to be in this situation, because at some point you just say, you know what, we have to do it. We don't want to do it, but we know it has to happen at some point. And I feel like this is finally the year, Andrew. You've been around the organization before, the Green Bay Packers. I feel like this is finally the year that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers finally agreed. So, you know what? We've done this dance, this two-step for far too long. Let's just move and go in separate directions. Ultimately, how do you think this thing ends up with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers for this season?
Let me be clear. I don't have inside knowledge.
Correct.
I have great resources at the organization, and I know Aaron, but I have not talked to either side about this. But I agree with you. I think it's time.
Yeah.
I think but the question that unanswered is, which I'd really like the Packers to answer, which they won't, is, okay, if Aaron emerges from his retreat and says, well, I think people expect him now to say, yeah, I want to be traded or retire. What if he comes out and says, you know what, I want to be back. I want to be Packer another year or two, whatever. Because I don't get the sense they want that.
Right.
Now that would be an interesting case. If he comes out and says, I've decided, I've thought on it, I want to be back with my team I've been with the last 17 years. I don't know if they want that. Mm. You know? And this is so much deja vu. So, I mean, I shake my head. Think about it. We drafted Aaron. We put him in the bullpen for 3 long years.
Yeah.
3 years. They drafted Jordan. They put him in the bullpen for 3 long years.
Right.
We decided we love Brett, but it's time for a change. And I think they're deciding they love Aaron, but it's time for a change. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But can you imagine, I know no one cares about Jordan Love, but can you imagine going to Jordan Love and saying, hey, by the way, we're not going to play you till your 5th year.
Okay.
I mean, that's really hard. And they'd say trade me, but they don't want to trade him.
Right.
So this is really interesting.
Very interesting. I think what's even more interesting, and I think this is more because we were just out there in Phoenix, in Arizona last week for Super Bowl week, that I'm very interested, Andrew, in what the Arizona Cardinals decide to do at quarterback, because there was no guarantee on the timeline for when Kyler Murray will be available to you. So how do you bring in that bridge starter? I feel like it's sounding real Jacoby Brissett-ish, if that makes sense, where you bring in a guy and say, oh, he can start, but we know he's just keeping the seat warm for the next guy. But you've got a new head coach now in Jonathan Gannon. So I'm trying to figure out, with the money you just gave Kyler Murray, now you got to go out and find someone just to keep the seat warm for him. And who knows if that guy's playing better or not. I know it's Kyler's possible job, but man, I feel like there's a lot there in Arizona that no one's really talking about.
Seems to be a bit erratic.
Right.
with him and the contract and the homework clause. I mean, he is a talent, and I think Jonathan Gannon said that. He is an elite talent. He has been since high school. I think the whole world knows that. Can Gannon bring out something? You know, it's not going to be him, because he's defensive coach.
Right.
But can their offensive coordinator bring out the best and unlock Kyler Murray, who, again, is going to make wild plays every game? You know, as far as a bridge guy, you know, these are what teams have to decide when you have a Kyler Murray. Do you want to bring in a Jacoby Brissett type, or do you want to develop somebody under Kyler?
Right.
And you're dealing with some ego there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think they probably bring in one of these stopgap guys. And that, by the way, that's usually who's on the market this time of year. It's the Jacoby Brissett, the Tyrod Taylors. But as I just said, there are a lot of interesting names beyond that.
He's Andrew Brandt, the host, the host of Business of Sports podcast. Just a couple more minutes here on the Rich Eisen Show. The one thing I do know, Andrew, and you can help me out here, is that the NFL salary cap is going up by close to, what, $17, $18 million. With all this new money now flowing into the salary cap, who does it benefit? Is it benefiting the quarterback? Is it benefiting the middle line veteran? Is it better for the rookies? I see salary cap go up. I'm thinking it's great for everyone, but what position in particular gets the benefit of the increase in salary?
Well, I think people have to be cautioned. You know, when you hear about the salary cap going up $17, $18 million, that's already taken, right? I mean, there's no new money for teams. You have 53 or 60 players on your team, so that's an average increase of, what, like $300,000 per player.
Right.
And that's not a lot. So you got some players at the top going up $3 million a year. So $17 million is not a big increase when you're talking about 60 players, because their contracts always go up. No one stays the same. So that, I think what you have to do is figure out where you're going to spend. That's the goal of cap management. Most teams prioritize quarterback and left tackle and edge rusher and corner, and then figure out the rest. But it's what everyone's doing right now. They're trying to prioritize their spending, and they're seeing where it's going to go. The wide receiver market was the big winner last year.
Right.
And we'll see what happens this year. You know, there's interesting running backs out there with Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley and Tony Pollard. It's going to be interesting to see where that market goes. I'm curious about that.
So you're saying the NFL's running back market may see a bump. I'm excited to hear that, right?
Well, these are special players. Usually, right. No, but, you know, you saw Aaron Jones was going to make $16 million. He took $11 because he kind of probably looked at that's the top of the market now. So that's probably where we expect those other guys to go.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers made a deal with Aaron, just not the other Aaron, right? They made a deal with Aaron Jones and not Rodgers. And we'll see what that looks like now moving forward. But, Andrew, always appreciate the time, my man. I'll let you go back to relaxing and getting ready for as we get ready to start the new fiscal year of the NFL in the coming weeks. Thanks as always, Andrew.
Thanks, Kirk. Some people are tweeting about the newsletter. So you go to andrew-brandt.com and you can get my newsletter every week. I talk about this stuff.
There we go. Appreciate it, Andrew. Talk to you soon, my man.
Thank you.
That was Andrew Brandt, the host of the Business of Sports podcast, a former NFL executive, always had great knowledge. He was there. He was there in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and how that was all handled. And it's like deja vu all over again. It's happening right now. And to his point, enough is enough. Time is time. But we shall see what happens in Green Bay. But the one thing I was also thinking about, fellas, and I want you to kind of ponder this a little bit, TJ Brock, Del Tufo. I want you guys to think about this. As I left Phoenix, Arizona, first of all, tip of the cap to the people in Arizona. The hospitality was great. An unbelievable Super Bowl city or environment and area. 75 degrees on the day of Super Bowl 57. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. But then, obviously, I've told you guys the mentality of Kirk Morrison is always, okay, here we go, on to the next. So I'm thinking about Super Bowl 58. Well, that'll be in Las Vegas. Super Bowl 59. Well, that's in New Orleans. Super Bowl 60. TBD. Where should Super Bowl 60 be held, fellas? I'll let you just ponder on that. And you can go ahead and give me your response as well at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show on Instagram, 844-204-RICH. Where should Super Bowl 60 be held? What venue? What city? And also, can we bring back the idea of neutral site conference championships games? We're going to discuss that all right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Give us a call.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA.
You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like, the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich, TJ Brockdale, Tufo the Geyser Rand. Great stuff from Andrew Brandt on the last segment, man. A lot to look forward to when it comes to the NFL in terms of the quarterback carousel and quarterback contracts. Obviously, we have the quarterbacks who are eligible for the big deals, the Joe Burrows and Justin Herberts, Jalen Hurts. But then you have the quarterbacks who are now free agents, the Jimmy Garoppolos, like you mentioned, the Derek Carrs, right? Daniel Jones. So it's going to be fun to see, first of all, what kind of contracts these quarterbacks get, but where do these possible starters in the National Football League, where do they decide to go? But Super Bowl 60 has not been announced by the NFL yet. And I am still waiting. I'm still trying to figure out possible sites for Super Bowl 60. Now think about where we've been over the last couple years, right? This past season, we had it in Phoenix. Great venue, great time. Los Angeles, year before, Super Bowl 56. Hey, it was in our backyard. I had a pretty good time. It was cool. Year before that, we know was the COVID Super Bowl. Not everybody was able to attend. It was in Tampa. It was Tom Brady, the Bucks. They had, you know, won the Super Bowl. I didn't get a chance to go, so I can't really give you the feel of the Tampa Super Bowl because it was still very restricted amongst our country at the time.
Yeah, there were fans, but it's
there
not
were fans,
like,
but yeah,
there wasn't media row. There wasn't all that fun stuff that normally, you know, we get to do in the media at a Super Bowl week.
Right. So you had that. The year prior was Miami. Remember that one? Chiefs and 49ers. That was pretty cool. Only thing about Miami is there's so much to do in Miami. Like, you've got the beach, you've got downtown, you got Brickell, you got Coral Gables, you got the, I mean, you're just all over the place. And so I feel like it's too spread out, but it's always a great venue. And then before that, we had Atlanta. Atlanta was pretty cool, right? And then, yeah, let's not talk about Minnesota again. That was the first time, by the way, I'd ever been in negative temperatures.
Oh, wow.
Negative. Yeah, I'd never been in negative before.
Whew.
I literally walked out of my hotel at the Mall of America. And immediately, you ever see that Homer Simpson, not Homer Simpson, it's a grandpa, yeah, walking in, that's how it was for me.
He walks right back out.
Yeah, he walks into Moe's, literally, and like turns around. Yeah, that was exactly me. I said, whoa, I'm not doing this. Had to go back in, had to change my whole outfit for the day. So Minnesota was something that's, yeah, but I think Houston could be on the dock.
Houston was a good time.
Yeah, I'm going to start with you, Brock. What do you think should be the venue for Super Bowl 60? I will say I had a little birdie, just a little birdie. I'm not breaking any news here.
Okay.
I'm just saying when I was on the red carpet at the NFL Honors, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, did walk down the carpet, and we presented the question to him. Hey, Jerry, you know, Super Bowl 60 coming up. We don't have a venue announced yet. Would Dallas be interested? And all he said was, we would love another crack at it. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what Roger Goodell, how the NFL views returning to Dallas, which I think they definitely deserve a second chance because that first one, I was there in Dallas when they first built the stadium and they had the ice storm and it was a mess, total mess. So I can see Super Bowl 60 in Dallas. What about you?
Man, Super Bowl 60 in Dallas. I did not go, Mike, but I remember how much of issues with the ice storm and just the not preparedness to handle the elements kind of down there. We talk about this a lot here about Super Bowls. I think that it should be literally like a 4 or 5 city just rotation.
Yes.
Now that we have SoFi Stadium here in L.A., the best stadium in the country, that should be in the mix. Las Vegas, now that they have a new stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And just how awesome Las Vegas is in general.
Correct.
We'll see how it goes next year, but they should be in the mix. New Orleans, that's a great city. That's a great spot for a Super Bowl. That should be in the mix. And then Florida. Let's just call it Florida because they have.
Okay.
You got Miami, South Florida, they could do it. Tampa, we know they could do it. Jacksonville has had success hosting Super Bowls. So let's just call it Florida. Maybe lump Atlanta in there. So just like the whole SEC, like they get
the
a shot
SEC.
At the Super Bowl. So just that little like southern swing across the whole country, right. That should be the mix for me. Dallas, you had a shot, you blew it.
Well, you do know I stayed on a cruise ship. In Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that cool or not cool?
It was so cool, by the way.
Yeah, it's
because we stayed
cool.
on a cruise ship. They brought me. They didn't have enough hotel rooms in Jacksonville for the amount of people that come to a Super Bowl. So I stayed on a cruise ship, and you actually had gambling on the on the cruise ship.
Now
you got the casino, the whole aspect of it. And it was probably better to stay on the cruise ship than it was to stay
Del
Tufo, you already know. All what about you? What you got? You've been doing this a long time.
I'm a technical guy.
Yes, the technical guy.
Having done 20 Super Bowls and been involved in it, I look at it technically. I don't care where the stadium is. It's just got to be a stadium that's good for the technical side of it. And in a sense, Miami's amazing. Okay. New Orleans, after they redid it, was amazing. Obviously, when we lost the blackout.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Lights
Beyonce's,
went out.
Yeah, Beyonce's halftime show.
Yeah. I mean, but at the end of the day, I agree with Chris. I think there's like kind of it should be in certain spots and be like kind of cycled around. And in reality, the best spots, I like San Francisco, though, also. Mm. San Francisco should be in there. Vegas should be in there. Dallas should be in there. Miami should be in there. And New Orleans should be in there. But I get why teams want to. You know, they want it there because it's like it makes money for the city, a lot of money city. Phoenix should be in there.
I got two wild cards for you, and it won't happen for Super Bowl 60, but maybe 65. And I'm talking about the new stadium that'll be built in Nashville for the Titans.
100%.
So you got to think they're going to get into the rotation.
100%.
When the Chicago Bears get their situation going.
If they get a roof.
When they get either a roof on Soldier Field or they go out to, was it Arlington Park, Arlington, wherever they're going to build their new stadium. Yep. It's going to have a roof. Chicago is a great place for you. And we saw what it looked like for the NFL draft. So that's another great place. TJ, what are you thinking, man? Super Bowl 60, where are you going?
I mean, I literally think between the three of you, you've listed every city in America. So,
what's your favorite? Outside of Dallas, because we're not just going to go because you're a Cowboys fan. We're not just going to have it at AT&T.
Well, then if you're just going to eliminate the places that I'd want to go, I would say leave it here in Southern California at SoFi. That way, when Super Bowl happens, we can all stay in our own cribs. We can sleep in our own beds and ain't got to go nowhere. That would be my personal preference. The weather here is great. You know, why not? Let's keep it here.
If we all had the opportunity and the NFL said, we're going to do it, and we all were able to bring the shows that we're all a part of, would you want to go to London for a Super Bowl?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, but
does it take away from the...
Is it a dome stadium? Because it's going to be cold. It's rainy in February in London.
They're all open fields.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, if they could put a little roof over there.
Wouldn't it be easier to go to Mexico then?
Yeah, if you could put a roof on it. And anywhere with a roof, that's all I care about. I don't like the outdoor stadium is always cool, but you got to have a nice spot for it. Like having the roof open in Phoenix was great.
Yeah, like MetLife lucked out when they had it in New York. It was just a nice day that day.
And then the next morning, all of a sudden, it had the full-on snow blast. And I wake up and I'm like, I hope my flight doesn't get delayed. I hope not. But it was still fun, though. But I think... Super Bowl 60 for me.
Dallas.
You think Jerry's going to get rewarded?
I think he's Dallas is going to get it.
I think it's going to be Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at where are the places that can handle a Super Bowl. I think it's gotten so massively much more bigger. Like Jacksonville was 05, and they had a tough time getting it. And just think about all the people. How many events were going on, fellas, in Phoenix that weekend?
It's crazy.
I mean, you had basketball games, you had waste management, you had this, and it was packed everywhere, every hotel filled up. And how many cities can truly handle a Super Bowl? Super Bowl.
Yeah. And the only thing Dallas has to, I'm sure they've learned from when 2011, last time the Super Bowl was there,
right.
When there's ice.
Yeah, salt.
It's not sand. You don't sand. You don't put sand on ice.
No sand.
And I think in the decade plus since, maybe someone who's in charge of handling that will understand that you don't put sand out.
You put, what's that? More hotels down there. There's a lot of people coming.
Well, now that you bring it up, TJ, I just, like I said, my mind's always going a million miles a minute. You said that was a decade plus. That was the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl and was actually in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, true that.
Wow. Like, think how long ago that was. We're talking about bringing it back up. Whew. Well, you know what? I know somebody who's got to come back who's bringing it back. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
We get an update on Tiger coming up and talk to Brandel Chamblee coming up here on The Rich Eisen Show.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
LA, it can become suffocating. Did something happen where you felt like I have to get out of here? Or do you just think it just happens sometimes?
I think it just happens, but also just everything going on in my personal life. Like, I want to get on this mic and be like, this is what I've been dealing with for 14 months.
Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.